Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart-Centered Loving. I'm your host, Jim Brown. You're safe. No harm will come to you in this space, and my goal every week is to bring more love, more happiness, joy, compassion, peace, and abundance into your life. As always, every week I ask you to listen to this show with the goal of taking one thing out of the show that you'll be able to implement into your life every day. Guess what? At the end of the month, we're going to talk about the end of the year, if you took one thing out of it for the whole year. As always, I'll ask you at the end of the show what that was. And today's show is going to be about God or Jesus or whoever your creator is moving into your heart. Let's start with an opening quote. Make a promise to stop getting in the way of the blessings that you are. Take a deep breath. Remember to have fun and begin. That's from Jonathan Ellerbe. Now, this opening story is from, who's that guy? Andy Rooney, that used to be on 60 Minutes. And he said, as I grow in age, I value women over 50 most of all. Here's a few reasons why. A woman over 50 will never wake you in the middle of the night and ask, what are you thinking? She doesn't care what you think. If a woman over 50 doesn't want to watch the game, she doesn't sit around whining about it. She goes and does something she wants to do, and usually it's more interesting. Older women are generous with praise, often undeserved. They know what it's like to be unappreciated. Women get psychic as they age. You never have to confess your sins to a woman over 50. Once you get past a wrinkle or two, a woman over 50 is far sexier than her younger counterpart. Older women are forthright and honest. They tell you right off if you're a jerk or if you're acting like one. You don't ever have to wonder where you stand with her. Yes, we praise women over 50 for a multitude of reasons. Unfortunately, it's not reciprocal. For every stunning, smart, well-coiffed, hot woman over 50, there's a bald, paunchy relic in yellow pants making a fool of himself to some 22-year-old waitress. Ladies, I apologize. For those men who say, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free, here's an update for you. Nowadays, 80% of women are against marriage. Why? Because a woman realizes it's not worth buying an entire pig just to get a little sausage. Andy Rooney was a smart guy, wasn't he? Okay. We're in December. Today is the 3rd of December. We'd like to know what kind of ideas or shows you would like for the rest of the year, which we have the 10th, 17th, 24th, and 31st. Revolving around Christmas, I don't know who you are, where you are in the world. I know that Rosie is in Mexico City, and she's Jewish. I know that Helga's in England, and she was born in Germany, but I'm not sure what her background is. As far as celebrating, but I know that for the most part, people in the United States will be celebrating Christmas this month. So maybe we want to talk about those kinds of things. At any rate, let's get going. The show, like I say, is about God or Jesus moving into your heart. And from my point of view, God already lives in our heart. But we're going to try and look at this today from the perspective of something that we can get tangibly, because we live in such a busy world and things become so esoteric and outside of ourselves and disconnected and separate. I want to try and get that connection re-soldered, if you will. Get that feeling there. So let's look at it, and you know, I'm going to use the word God or Jesus in terms of moving into your heart. You use whatever works for you. And I kind of like the idea of the concept of it being Jesus, because if you celebrate Christmas, then we're talking about a little baby who's going to be born and who's going to move into your heart. And a lot of us followed the baby being born, the royal baby being born in England. Look at all the anticipation that there was for that earlier this year. Well, here, think of it as your royal baby that's going to be born and it's going to live in your heart. Now, this baby is the most precious baby in all of creation. And what do you want for this baby? You want this baby to be, know that it's totally loved. It's totally taken care of. That this little baby boy or girl is already got everything he or she needs. You are going to take care of it. And those of you who are moms, and I don't know anything about this, but I'm going to venture into your territory and imagine what it's like when you were pregnant and the anticipation of this baby who's already living inside of you coming, and you're going to give birth to this baby, and you are being charged with the task of loving this baby, of teaching this baby how amazing it is. Well, now we're going to have that role reversed. We're going to have this Creator born into our heart and teach us how to love ourselves. Because we've gotten lost. We live in a world that thinks it's all about stuff, whether it's boats and cars and vacations or whatever it happens to be. And we live in a world that's prized with our left brain analytical abilities. And now we're going to try and reconnect and get into our heart. So now, imagine that your heart, like your home, if we're preparing for a baby to be born, and let's just say that that room is an extra room, and we've got clutter in it, right? So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to get rid of all the junk that's in the room, and then we're going to decorate the room. And that's exactly what we're going to do today. We're going to get rid of the clutter that's in our heart, and then we're going to decorate it. So what we're really doing is becoming consciously aware of our choices. And the choice we are becoming aware of is what it would be like to be consciously aware of God living in our heart. What kind of heart or what kind of home do you want to make for this baby, for this Creator, for the source of all love to live in your heart? So we're going to get going with our spring cleaning project. If we look in our heart and we have all this junk, we're going to get rid of the biggest piece of junk first, right? And most every one of us has had our heart broken. And this broken heart has resulted in a lot of casualties, which we have to heal. Think of that. We live in Los Angeles, so we have earthquakes, so there's cracks in walls and things like that. Think of that. Your heart that way. Or what was the little story of when with the kids, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put them back together again. Whoa, haven't heard that one for a long time. Well, think of our heart that way. But we're going to put it together, aren't we? Because of the pain that we suffered from having our heart broken, many times, many of us shut our heart down, and we won't let anybody into our heart to love like that again. We've talked about this before. We were vulnerable, and somebody abused that vulnerability. First thing we're going to have to do is to accept that the reason we're alive is to learn how to love. We've talked before about the fact that we must learn to love ourselves first. All our warts and everything. We've got to love ourselves. And I'll talk more about that later on in the program. In order to love somebody else, we're going to have to open our heart again and be vulnerable. And since few of us really have learned how to love, when we do love, it tends to be a selfish love, and our emotions get in the way, whether it's anger, whether we're sensitive and we get our feelings hurt, whether it's hostility, whatever it happens to be. And then what we do is we shut it down and we withhold our love. And very often we have a tendency to lash out at the other person. And sometimes what we do is we manipulate other people. And we get manipulated. And that's how our heart gets broken. So what we're going to have to do here is to promise yourself that you're going to spend the rest of your life learning how to love better. And let's look at this. We're talking about a baby. Let's just fast forward with that baby a little bit. If the baby's a girl for you ladies, it'll probably walk sooner than the boys will. Fast forward to when your children were babies and they were learning how to walk. They fell down on their face. They fell on their butt. They fell on their side. And never once did one baby ever lay down and say, I'm a failure. I'll never learn how to walk. They all got up. We all got up. We kept falling. We kept getting up. Same thing with loving. We got to get up. We have to expand. We have to love again. We have to understand that our whole life is about learning how to love. Therefore, we have to say getting hurt while loving will never, ever, ever be an excuse to stop loving. Nobody in the history of humankind has ever died from an overdose of love. We got to learn how to love ourselves. We have to learn how to accept ourselves. We have to learn how to love other people. So let's get up and let's love again. And let's seal that heart, those cracks, that pain, so that we have a clean heart that we know can be broken, that is fragile, but no matter what, we're going to continue to love. We're here to love, and we're here to be loved. And we have to learn how to do it, and the only way we learn how to do anything, what? Is to practice, right? In order to maximize the chance of living with a full, whole, loving heart, we're going to have to focus on eliminating the grudges, the anger, the resentment, and the hostility that we harbor. Okay? We have to learn how to do that. We have to practice doing it. We have to get rid of that. Because just like this room we're preparing for this new baby in our heart, we're going to make sure the air is clean, aren't we? So we know that all these things, whether it's anger, hostility, resentment, those are toxic emotions. That's like poison air. No room in our heart for this new baby with these negative emotions. We have to promise ourselves, because we're human and we know that's going to happen again, and we know that what we're dealing with here is a process, not an event. Our whole life is a process. It's not a series of events. So we got to get, no matter how hard I try, it's going to happen again. No big deal. When it happens, the clue is to recognize when it happens and to say, hey, it has to stop, and stop it right now. And I know that I'm going to have to expunge these toxic negative emotions. And I got to get them out of my heart as soon as I can, or as the saying goes, ASAP. So the antidote for all poison, okay, really simple, isn't it? The antidote for all poison is what? It's love. So we got to do two things to stop giving these toxic emotions any energy. It's like a fire, right? You take the oxygen out of the fire and the fire's gone. You take the energy out of this negative emotion, it's gone. Don't feed it. It'll starve to death. So the first thing we have to do is stop giving these toxic energies, emotions, any energy, Then the second thing we have to do to heal these negative energies is to send love from our heart to the heart of the person that you're angry with, that you're hostile toward, that you're resenting, or that you're holding a grudge against. Basically, we're forgiving them, and for our purposes, we are defining forgiveness, as I've always have in every program we've done on forgiveness, is releasing the emotional attachment to the event. And we know, don't we, that forgiveness is for ourselves. Before I forget, I don't see anybody here on the switchboard calling in. Our call-in number should be at the top of the demand thing. That's only if you're listening to it now while we're shooting it or talking about it. It's 646-595-2831. 646-595-2831. Okay. Back to forgiveness, and forgiveness we know is only for ourselves. Now the next thing, we've gotten rid of the big bad broken heart thing. We've got to get rid of the beliefs that no longer serve us in a positive way. Now remember that our beliefs that we had served us to get through a particular time in our life. And everything we have in our life serves us. It serves us in one of two ways. It serves us positively or it serves us negatively. Okay? Now, we got to make, again, we're coming back to the word choice. We've got a choice. Do we want to continue to keep beliefs in our life that serve us negatively? And you should be saying, no, I don't, Jim. So, let's start talking about some of the beliefs that don't serve us in a loving, positive way anymore. First one might be, I'm not good enough. Well, hogwash. You are good enough. Who said you aren't good enough? Who are you comparing yourself to? Now, many of you may have heard the name Muhammad Ali. He was, I think, 4-time heavyweight boxing champion of the world in the 60s and 70s. And he used to stand there and yell and scream and say, I'm the greatest! Thousands of people up and ask, how many of you have ever said that to yourself? Virtually nobody has. So take the time as we say, do this right now. I happen to have a headphone on, so I don't have a lavalier microphone on, but when I do it, I usually stand people up and I say, I'm the greatest, and I pound my chest. So say that now. I'm the greatest. And my question to you is, what did you hear when you said you were the greatest? The greatest what? Me? The greatest? Well, you got to keep saying, what do you think Muhammad Ali's mind said to him the first time he said, I'm the greatest? So it's up to you. What are you the greatest? You got to believe in yourself that you're good enough. You're the only one that has the gifts that you have. Nobody in all of history, and there's over 7 billion of us alive on this planet today, has the gifts that you have. So you bet you're good enough. Second thing would be, I don't deserve this. And I'm here to say you do deserve it. You deserve to have a life filled with abundance, with love, with joy. This is your birthright. This is your inheritance. We'll talk about that in a minute. Third thing is, well, I'm too old, or I don't have enough education. I've never been able to do this. That's all nonsense. That's all our negative beliefs that are saying, I'm not good enough. We've been brainwashed about that since we were little kids. I was just reviewing the last cruise I spoke on. They videotaped the 7 programs, and I have them on the computer, and I'm trying to figure out how to put this together for a demo video and to find a way to put it on a website for you to watch. If anybody is into that, please help me out. I'm at jim@jimbrownspeaker.com. At any rate, I was looking at that when we were talking about, it happened again. I got sidetracked and now I forgot what I was talking about. You know, that I'm not good enough. Yeah, we are. We're all good enough. It doesn't matter what we've done or who we are. The next one I have here is, I believe that my past is equal to my present, and my present is equal to my future. In other words, I couldn't do it yesterday, therefore I can't do it today. And if I can't do it today, I'll never be able to do it. Again, that's an old belief that doesn't serve you. It doesn't work. It isn't enabling you to stand up and be all you came here to be. Stop beating up on yourself. You would never, ever tolerate your best friend talking about himself or herself the way you talk about yourself in your head. Get rid of this. And then, which takes us to the fifth thing, which is people being attached to the story of arguing for their limitations. And I first heard that from Michael Beckwith, who's the head of Agape here in the Los Angeles area. And obviously I've heard it from many people since then, but stop arguing for your limitations, for what you can't do. That's your story. It's like the Halloween costume. You know, that's what I'm familiar with. So I don't know anything else other than my story, a lack of limitation. Oh, poor me. You got to remember here, what we're doing is we're preparing ourselves to receive our Creator into our heart and to be able to go into our heart and sit and talk and listen and love and be loved by the source of all creation. That's what we're getting ready to do. So we're letting go of our past, because our past is not going to serve us when we go into this sacred chamber where all is pure and unconditional love, where we know we're taken care of, where we know we can trust, where we know we're being guided, where we learn how to listen and follow this divine guidance. Incidentally, I'm going to close the program with a prayer. If you would like a copy of the prayer, send me an email. It's jim@jimbrownspeaker.com. So we're preparing for God or Jesus to move into our heart. Now the two of you are going to get married, and you're going to create the story of living happily ever after. Now, as you take these vows, the first one is that you're going to trust God. And you're going to trust that God is going to take care of the how-tos. God will lead this dance of unconditional love. Your job is to simply trust and to surrender all your fears and let God transmute them from fear to love. So let's take a look at the experience that you have in trusting and surrendering in your life already. We all surrender every time we get on an airplane. We let the pilot fly. Or, I get in your car and we go out to dinner or something like that. I let you drive. We don't think about that. We trust that the pilot can fly the plane, the driver can drive the car, and we surrender to them. And rarely, if I ever, even think about it. So we've got the ability, we've got the experience of being able to surrender and to love. Next time you have to believe that you deserve to be loved unconditionally. You have to believe that you deserve to be loved unconditionally. Because if you don't, then you're going to push that away and you're going to superimpose conditions upon it. So in order to deserve or to believe that you deserve to be unconditionally, you don't have to do anything. It's your divine inheritance. This is your birthright. You won the lottery. So what you got to do now is you got to turn in your winning ticket. But as we know, many who win the lottery go get their ticket, they win the money, and within 3 years they're right back where they used to be because they don't know how to handle this abundance. So you got to prepare to receive the gift of unconditional love. And the gift of unconditional love simply says that there's nothing you can ever say or ever do that's going to change this unconditional love. All you have to do is to accept it. This is a gift. This is your divine inheritance. It's time to open your gift. The time is now. If not now, when? If not you, who? Surrender your heart into the loving hands of God and let Him or her guide you. I'm going to get soft here, so if you need to raise the volume to hear me, do that. Because what I want you to do now is I want you to listen to the whispers of love in your heart. Listen to God telling you, honey, there's nobody I love more than I love you. My gorgeous child, you are so beautiful. I am so proud of you. I love you so much. I am so happy that you are here, that you've had the courage to do what you've done in your life, the courage to go through what you've gone through, the pain you've endured. I want you to know I am always here with you. I am always here for you. I am here to guide you. I am here to love you. I am here to accept you. I am here to be one with you. We're inseparable. Don't ever forget, I am always, always here. With you, in you, through you, and for you. Please, my sweet child, know this. Know that this is the truth. Please surrender all your fears, all your cares, all your worries. Give them to me. Together, we will do everything. You have all the tools that you need to be the most loving, caring, giving, and receiving person. I invite you today, now, to join me so that together we may live the rest of the time that you're in this body from the highest place of love. Don't ever be afraid. Don't ever think there's anything that'll come into your life that we together cannot handle. Everything is a gift from me to you. If you get scared, come back in here. Sit down. Sit in my lap. Let me hold you. Or if you think of me as Jesus, hold me in your lap. Tell me your fears. Let me take them from you. Let me reassure you that we will get through everything. Because we are one. We are love. Together, we shall overcome everything. And if you get scared, remember, keep asking me, hey God, how is this a gift? Please, how is this a gift? I'm scared. Tell me, how is this a gift? keep asking. Because when you ask in the softness of your heart, you will hear these whispers. And these whispers are me in my fullest love, sharing with you this love so that you know that all that there is the love that we have with and for each other. Everything else is an illusion. Be with me. Be with me always. Always know that I love you. You can live your entire life here. You can come in here every single day to get recharged, to remember who you really are. Remember, the door is always open. You can choose to come. You can choose to go. I will never hold you back. I am grateful for the opportunity for you to hear these whispers and to give whatever meaning that you give to them. I thank you for our time together. Namaste. I love you. What else is going to inhibit your ability to live fully in your heart with God, in love, and be loved unconditionally with God? By God, I mean. So, for most of us, what's going to inhibit us? Hold on a second. I gotta come back here. What just happened is I went in my heart. And I let go, and I spoke from the depths of my heart. And I hope that you hear it, and you take it in, and you rewind this, and you listen to it when you need to hear it, when you get scared, when you feel like you're alone. We're never alone. Remember, this is all about us coming together and learning how to love, and using our heart as our home, as our source of love. Let all this other stuff go. Just because we live in a world that's a world of duality that's run by fear, doesn't mean we have to believe in this fear. Ever. We have our choices. We're always at choice. Choose to love yourself. Choose to be connected with your Creator. Choose to know that you have a sacred heart that you can move into at any time for as long as you want. And it's kind of like, you ever play with little kids? And when they're, I love to do this, and you start talking to them and they can go get shy and they run around mommy or daddy's leg. And you know they're not shy, they're just, you're a stranger. So maybe that's what it feels like the first time we go in there. But we're not shy. Be open. Allow this to happen. Allow this into your heart. Allow this to be the source that creates the direction of your life. One of the things, this is a side here, that I love to do at this time of the year. And I did it on Saturday, going into the grocery store. There was a mom and about a 10-year-old boy and maybe a 4- or 5-year-old girl. And the boy was helping mom put the groceries into the back of the SUV. And I went over there and I said, "Sir." And he looked at me startled. I said, "I'm one of Santa Claus's helpers. And as soon as I get home, I'm going to email Santa Claus and I'm going to tell him how helpful you're being to your mom. Oh, my God. Mom's eyes lit up. She smiled. And then the little girl, her face lit up. And I said, oh, and you have the most beautiful smile. And the mom must have thanked me two or three times. She said, thank you for doing that. That's so kind. That's what we're talking about here when we're talking about living from our heart, lighting up the light of somebody else's heart. And I think I'm going to do a show on heart giving for Christmas. It hasn't formulated yet, but I'm thinking that maybe I will do that on the 17th, giving you time to listen to it rather than doing it on the 24th. And I may call it, you know, gift giving, or I may call it Twas the Night Before Christmas. And Christmas is all about our heart. Okay, let me get back. You know, I'm having a hard time with that. I just feel right now like I went out of my body, and I'm having a hard time getting back into it. So I'm going to I make an outline of this, which I don't do when I get in front of a live audience, and I'm going to kind of skip this stuff. But simply to say that, you know, we've got expectations for ourselves. We got to let those things go. I learned from yoga that, you know, life just isn't a competition. I don't care how many people think it is. That doesn't ever make it right. We do the best we can. We always do the best we can with the resources that we have available to us at the time. Right now, I don't have the resource available to me to get really loud and passionate, because I still feel like I'm out of my body and I got to get back into it and got to get grounded, which isn't a bad thing because I'm loving it. So we want to accept that every experience we have is created as an opportunity for us to learn and grow. Thus, everything is for our highest good. My mom used to say, honey, someday you'll understand. And I believe that's God's mantra to us. Honey, someday you'll understand. And furthermore, understanding is way overrated. I know, I don't know how my remote control works. I don't know how my computer works. I don't know how this telephone works, how my car works, how my fax machine works. I don't know how any of that stuff works. But I use it. I don't need to know how it works in order to use it. So what else do we have to get rid of so our heart is prepared to have God living in there with you and loving you unconditionally? Now that's a question just for you. So where we are in terms of preparing our heart is now we've cleaned all the junk out. Think of this as a room that, you know, you're pregnant and you're getting ready to have a baby. You get all the garbage out of the room because you used it as a storage room. And now we're going to decorate the room for the baby. So when we're talking about our heart, what's the first thing we got to say? I love myself. And I've talked about Kathy many times before. Kathy does this exercise, and it's been an enormous, she's been doing it for close to 2 years, an enormous growing experience for her. She stands in front of the mirror without her clothes on, looks into her eyes, looks through her eyes, into her soul, into her heart, and says, Kathy, I love you. You're beautiful. And I want you to do the same thing. Stand in front of the mirror. Look into your eyes. Look through your eyes. Look into your heart. Look into your soul. And say, I love you. You're beautiful. That is the key. Because we aren't our body. We know we aren't our body. But nobody taught us how to love ourselves. You got to get past the warts, past the wrinkles, past the celluloid, past the extra weight, whatever you want to call it. One of the yoga teachers a week or so ago said about our rear end, about junk in the trunk. So next thing we have to do is we have to believe that we deserve this level of love. Period. It's a gift. Accept the gift. Stop questioning. Why me? What did I do? I didn't did it. That kind of stuff will drive us nuts. And then third, simply we have to have the belief. I'm extremely grateful and thankful for everything that comes into my life. So when we get ready to talk about the new year, what would happen if you decided what you're going to do next year is to have a daily journal of the things you're grateful for? Instead of looking for what we don't have, let's look at what we do have and what we're grateful for. And guess what's going to happen? Our life is going to grow. It's going to expand. Now, you remember that when we just talked from the heart, in the heart, you know that you're never alone. And we'll take this time to share again Footprints. And Footprints is a story about a man who's having a dream. And in his dream, he's walking along a beach. And he looks up and sees all the scenes of his life in the sky. And he looks at every scene, and there's two sets of footprints. And then he looks at the last scene of his life, and he sees there's only one set of footprints. And he looks back over at him again, and he sees there's a bunch of places where there's only one set of footprints. And he notices each time there's only one set of footprints, it's because it was a time of crisis in his life. And he turns to God and he says, "Hey God, you promised me if I followed you that you would never leave me. And yet, every time there's a hard time in my life, there's only one set of footprints." And God says, "Honey, I never left you. You see, when you only saw one set of footprints, I was carrying you." So take a moment now. Close your eyes, assuming you're not driving. Climb up on God's back. Wrap your arms around his chest. Wrap your legs around his waist. And know that he will carry you through everything. The next thing in terms of decorating our heart for our Creator to come into it. I know that everything that happens to me is for my highest and greatest good. Number six, this is like a trinity. I trust myself. I trust my heart. And I trust my God. So, if we look at it as a trinity or a triangle with a circle around it, around the circle is written the word trust. And on top of this triangle is God. On one side is my heart. On the other side is myself. And the last thing that we're going to do to decorate our heart for our baby Jesus, or for our Creator to come into, is to know I am not my body. I know I'm not my car. I know I'm not my house. I know that I am my soul, and my soul is partnering with my heart and with my God. Now, it's taken me a while to get this and to embrace this 100%. For a while, I was over 50%. But keep thinking of the body. And now I know that's different. I live in the body. I have the emotions of the body. But that's not who I am. I knew when I watched David Copperfield on television that he's not making an elephant disappear. I know it's an illusion. I know at night when I'm sleeping and I'm dreaming, that dream is real. That's where I am. That's who I am. So what's real? My dreams? My waking state? My body? Or who I really am at the depths of my soul? Now, with that, let me just check the chat room here. We have one person in there. Oopsie. I did the wrong thing. I hit the wrong button. Oopsie is a technical term, isn't it? And that person's in there, but they're not signed in, so they can't talk. That's guest number 1931, whatever that means. So what I'm going to do now is we're at 45 minutes in. I'm going to read this, share this prayer with you that I mentioned earlier. If you would like me to, I call it a prayer, you call it whatever you want. Send a copy of it to you. Just email me at jim@jimbrownspeaker.com. So I'm now going into my heart and my soul. And this is the prayer. My dearest God, I humbly accept the invitation to have you move into my heart. I release my old story of lack and limitation. I trust you to create a new story of love. I let go of all my fears, and I accept that everything I see out there through my physical eyes is an illusion. I accept that all that is real is your love. Everything else is a cry for your love. I open my heart to graciously receive this divine unconditional love. I graciously thank you for this gift of unconditional love, and now know that this unconditional love is all that is real. Everything else is an illusion. I commit the rest of my earthly life to fully accepting and embracing this unconditional love into my life. The closing quote is from Luptha Hermann. Be yourself. Accept yourself. Value yourself. Forgive yourself. Bless yourself. Express yourself. Trust yourself. Love yourself. Empower yourself. So, now we go to the closing story. And this is five lessons about the way we treat people. The first important lesson is about a cleaning lady. During my second month of college, our professor gave us a pop quiz. I was a conscientious student and had breezed through the questions until I read the last one. What is the first name of the woman who cleans the school? Surely this must be some kind of joke. I had seen this cleaning lady several times. She was tall, dark-haired, in her 50s, but how did I know what her name was? I handed in my paper, leaving the last question blank. Just before the class ended, one student asked if the last question would count toward our quiz grade. Absolutely, said the professor. In your careers, you will meet many people. All of them are significant. They deserve your attention and care, even if all you do is smile and say hello. I've never forgotten that lesson. I also learned that her name was Dorothy. Second lesson. It's called Pick Up in the Rain. One night at 11:30 p.m., an older African-American woman was standing on the side of an Alabama highway trying to endure a lashing rainstorm. Her car had broken down and she desperately needed a ride. Soaking wet, she decided to flag down the next car. A young white man stopped to help her, generally unheard of in those conflict-filled times of the 60s. The man took her to safety, helped her to get assistance, and put her into a taxi cab. She seemed to be in a big hurry, but wrote his address down and thanked him. 7 days went by, and a knock came on the man's door. To his surprise, a giant console color TV was delivered to his home. And this is the note that was attached. Thank you so much for assisting me on the highway the other night. The rain drenched not only my clothes, but also my spirits. Then you came along Because of you, I was able to make it to my dying husband's bedside just before he passed away. God bless you for helping me and unselfishly serving others. Sincerely, Mrs. Nat King Cole. And third important lesson, always remember those who serve. In the days when ice cream sundae cost much less, a 10-year-old boy entered a hotel coffee shop and sat at a table. The waitress put a glass of water in front of him. "How much is an ice cream sundae?" he asked. 50 cents, replied the waitress. A little boy pulled his hand out of his pocket and studied the coins in it. "Well, how much is a plain dish of ice cream?" By now, more people were waiting for the table, and the waitress was growing impatient. 35 cents, she brusquely replied. The little boy again counted his coins. "I'll have the plain ice cream," he said. The waitress brought the plain ice cream, put the bill on the table, and walked away. The boy finished the ice cream, paid the cashier, and left. When the waitress came back, she began to cry as she wiped down the table. There, placed neatly beside the empty dish, were 2 nickels and 5 pennies. You see, he couldn't have the sundae, because then he wouldn't have enough to leave her a tip. Fourth most important lesson, the obstacle in our path. In ancient times, the king had a boulder placed in the roadway. He hid himself and watched to see if anybody would remove this huge rock. Some of the king's wealthiest merchants and courtiers were coming by and simply walked around it. Many loudly blamed the king for not keeping the roads clear, but none did anything about getting the stone out of the way. Then a peasant came along carrying a load of vegetables. Upon approaching the boulder, the peasant laid down his burden and tried to move the stone to the side of the road. After much pushing and straining, he finally succeeded. After the peasant picked up his load of vegetables, he noticed a purse lying in the road where the boulder had been. The purse contained many gold coins and a note from the king indicating that the gold was for the person who removed the boulder from the roadway. The peasant learned what many of us never understand. Every obstacle presents an opportunity to improve our condition. And the last important lesson, giving when it counts. Many years ago, when I worked as a volunteer at a hospital, I got to know a little girl named Liz who was suffering from a rare and serious disease. Her only chance of recovery appeared to be a blood transfusion from her 5-year-old brother, who had miraculously survived the same disease and had developed the antibiotics needed to combat the illness. The doctor explained the situation to her little brother and asked the little boy if he would be willing to give his blood to his sister. I saw him hesitate only for a moment before taking a deep breath and saying, "Yes, I'll do it if it will save her." As the transfusion progressed, he lay in the bed next to his sister and smiled, as we all did, seeing the color returning to her cheeks. Then his face grew pale and his smile faded. He looked up at the doctor and asked with a trembling voice, "Will I start to die right away?" Being young, the little boy had misunderstood the doctor. He thought he was going to have to give all his blood to his sister in order to save her. That's the show for today. As always, I ask you, what was the most important thing you got out of this program? I'd love to get your feedback about what you'd like in the show. And again, I'm at jim@jimbrownspeaker.com. My website, obviously, is jimbrownspeaker.com. It's got my books on there, my speaking information, programs I've done, etc. We will be right here again next Tuesday at 2 o'clock Pacific time. I don't know what the show is going to be on, but it'll come to me. I hope that today's show has touched your heart. Because with all that's going on in the world today, we need to feel the love in our heart. We need to know how important we are. We need to be able to love ourselves, to be able to forgive ourselves, to be able to let go of any and all past transgressions, whether we did something or somebody did something to us. So I ask you again, please remember to love yourself. And I send love from my heart to your heart. I ask you to receive this love and share it with everybody that you come in touch with. There is an infinite supply of love. We're in December. December is probably the most giving month of the year. So find ways to reach out from your heart to other people's heart. Share your love, because sharing your love is like a candle. You take your love, which is the light your candle of your candle, and you light somebody else's candle. Doesn't take away from your candle, does it? So go out there, because together we will make a difference in people's lives. There is no such thing as the world. All there is your world. And your world is the people that you talk to and see on a daily basis. Share your love and share your heart. And I thank you for being here, and I'll see you, in a manner of speaking, next Tuesday. Thank you. I love you. Bye-bye.